The Bible reading today comes from 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 to 19. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. I knew I had to welcome Barry up after something, but it was the Bible reading, not the last song. So welcome, Barry.
I'd like to thank Peter for the privilege of coming and speaking to you today, and how wonderful it is to be back in my home congregation. It's good to see familiar faces, and even more exciting to see new faces, which is a good sign of how things are going. This church is not 7 years old. This church is, 40-something years old, 42 years old, because way back in 1941, Beth Robinson's parents moved to Wollongong. They'd been in the Church of Christ. There wasn't one, so they started one in their home. And today there are four on the south coast. And in 1966, the congregation here commissioned me to go to the Bible College and study for ministry. Now, I thought this would probably be the last time I'll ever get to speak to you, because the way I'm disintegrating physically and my voice is going gradually, this might be it. So I thought, well, I better go and work on a really good sermon, so they say, we didn't make a mistake in sending him to college. Then I thought, no, they're family. You're my family. Many of you in this room have known me for years and years, and we have served together. And so I'm just going to talk to you. I'm going to talk to you about a strange subject, fresh paint. Ever thought about it? Fresh paint has the ability to transform anything, doesn't it? You got some crappy old thing in your yard and you rub it down, you put a bit of paint on it, and you say, wow, that looks $1 million. Way back in college days, this was in 1968 and 69, it was a four-year course we used to do, and so the last 2 years I was assigned to a church in North Sydney. So I phoned the elders a week before we were due to start. College was on holidays and we lined up everything, and they said to me, look, we have a granny flat on the property that 20 years ago was used by a single minister. If you're interested, you can have it. It's pretty run down. Now, we were pretty broke in those days. She didn't make anything being a student minister. So I said, yeah, no, we'll do it. Well, we went up on the Saturday, Gay and I. We walked around the back of their nice brick building, and there was a granny flat. Its colour was, well, Gay described it as spew green. It looked absolutely awful. It really did. And I felt so bad because, you see, when we went to college, we had just moved into our new home. We'd built a house, and in February we moved in, and in March we moved out. I went to college and never lived in the house again. Now, that's enough for a divorce, isn't it? The redeeming factor was my precious wife, her calling was every bit as strong as mine, and she never looked back. And on that day, as I'm standing there looking at this spew green, she said, we'll get some paint and paint it. I thought, oh, great. So we actually rounded up a few of our friends and we painted it. All of a sudden, this awful, awful looking place looked beautiful. Fresh paint transforms things, doesn't it? Fresh paint can make an old thing look brand new. I'm thinking of getting a coat. So that's how we did it. And it was so different. And it reminded me of that passage that was read. Therefore, if anyone is in Jesus Christ, he or she is a new creation. Old things are passed away and everything becomes new. Just like that coat of paint can change a building, so it is that when a person has a real encounter with Christ, everything changes. I was 17 when I had that encounter with Christ. I'd been around the youth group a couple of years before that. Never dawned on me the bit of religion they talked about had anything to do with me. But, you know, God comes and taps you on the shoulder, doesn't he? All of a sudden, it's you he's talking to, and you know it. And my life was radically changed. And I came into this most wonderful little group of Christians in the Church of Christ there in Wollongong in those days, in Market Street. The followers on from Beth's parents' days when they had founded that church. There were some wonderful people there. First of all, there was this beautiful blonde I fell in love with immediately. I thought, I've got no chance with this one, but I can look from afar. But God was extra gracious to me, and Gay became my friend, my partner, my life's love. And we had a most wonderful life together in ministry. So Gay was there, but others were there too. If you can imagine this building, and in the old church, the pulpit was over there. Up here was the choir stalls, and we actually had a choir that would sit there and sing, then seats going back, and you came in the side door like this one. Well, Doreen Parcell was the organist. She could play anything. She didn't need music, and she'd be sitting about there. But as you walked in that door, coming in before the service, and she's playing music, she would always acknowledge you and nod your head, and you'd smile back, and she made you feel $1 million. And there was Mr. Christofferson. He was a big, tall man, an elderly man with white hair, and he could pray almost as long as the minister could preach. And Bert was up here in the choir loft. Bert, as soon as they'd finished singing and the minister was about to begin, he would cross his leg, put a hymn book on that knee, put his arm like this and go to sleep. And I thought, I'd throw a book at him. But he made up for it because afterwards he was so friendly to every single person. And he did so much around the property that he was such a treasured member. Just so many fascinating people there to have an impact on you. And one of them was he was Mr. Wallace, but the older people called him Daddy Wallace. Daddy Wallace was so bent over, he was sort of like this, wasn't he, Beth? He'd be down this far, I reckon. He'd be looking at the ground when he walked. He couldn't, I was always a bit afraid of him. I never spoke to him, I don't think, in the first year. I saw him go past, they announced that he was going to be speaking at the men's breakfast. And I thought, what's he going to say? You know what he said? No. He told the story of two young men. It was in Lithgow before World War II. The massive strike that went on for miners that got them safety conditions like they'd never had before. And he was one of those two men who did it. And they got together afterwards and they said, now one's got to stay with the union, the other's got to get into politics. So the other one got into politics. His name was Ben Chifley. We had this treasure in our midst, and this man who had worked with Ben Chifley, who went on to become Prime Minister of Australia, and it was just an amazing church. It was like a fresh coat of paint. I used to look forward every week to coming to that church and being with those people. And we had a minister that I adored, Mr. Anderson. Mr. Anderson just loved young people. Their house was always open. Mr. and Mrs. Anderson, to me, were the most Christian people I've ever known. I can't bring myself to call him Jack Anderson. Other ministers I call by their first name, but he was up here for me. I thought he was old, but he must have only been about 40. We always thought he was old. And he always wore the suit and the hat and all that stuff. But, oh, wonderful, a wonderful man. That church was my fresh coat of paint. And for the next couple of years, I was so happy and excited as a young Christian. Now, then fresh paint can also be a problem. Have you ever kicked over a tin of paint? A bit of a problem, isn't it? Or on that day that we painted that building, in those days I had one good shirt. I remember we're college students, and one good long sleeve shirt, because you had to wear a collar and tie and suit every time you went, did anything, as even a student minister in those days. So I had my good shirt on. We were going out after we'd finished painting that day. I got dressed, went out and bumped against the building, and my shirt now had paint on it. Paint doesn't wash out, does it? Yeah. So my long sleeve shirt became a short sleeve shirt. And so paint, fresh paint is beautiful, but it can have problems. And so can the fresh paint of experience of belonging to a church. Because I came into this church and it's like fresh paint every Sunday, because all these good people are here, people that I love, people that make me excited about my Christianity. And then it was time for an annual meeting. So we went to an annual meeting. Well, can't be bad, can it? Wednesday night, getting together with the family. And our minister had been there 5 years at that stage, and so they were going to vote to extend it. So it gets moved that we extend his ministry. And a few people get up and say the most ugly things against his family that I love. And I couldn't believe it. The bitterness, and it wasn't things like moral situations, anything like that. It was just that they'd crossed each other one way or another. And by the end of the night, I too voted for him to go, because I thought, I don't want you to be in these people. You're not worth it. You know, it's just not worth it. And so I went into a time where the fresh paint faded very badly in my view. I thought seriously about leaving the church. What I'd loved, what I saw was fantastic, was dashed by just a few people in a meeting. Fortunately, we got a student minister who came for a little while, Roger and Ray Folletta, came and spent a year until their new minister was to arrive. And we became good friends, and they nurtured Gay and I, and that's how we stayed on and came back in. And then David Mantle came as a minister, and David was one of the great evangelists of our movement. And the church exploded and impacted the whole city. I was fortunate going to college because I had two ministers. Mr. Anderson taught me to love Christ, to love the church, to love the church of Christ. David Mansell showed me a church on fire can impact a whole city. And I had the best training you could ever have before I ever got near a Bible college. So here it was. Fresh paint can cause you a bit of problems. But I came through it, back into some kind of freshness. But it's never quite the same again. And then what happens with paint? It dries. And when it dries, it hardens. And when it hardens, it protects. Now the paint can stand up to wind, to rain, to hail. Now it's powerful. It's not as exciting. I'd walk past that paint that we put on that building, and no longer did I stand there and say, oh, what a good job we did. It's ordinary now. Because it's part of me. But it's strong. It's powerful. And that's how it is with the natural flow of life. The excitement that we have at the start of Christianity, of finding Christ, of getting on, all of a sudden now, it may not be as exciting. It may not, you know a bit too much about other people now to think they're all wonderful and happy and all wonderful people. You're not surprised at an annual meeting when someone says something stupid. It's just part of life now, because the paint has hardened. Now, when it hardens, you also change. You know what you change from? You change from black and white to grey. Okay, here's my black and white days. When I was in my late teens and early 20s and really through into my 30s, I was black and white on most things. For example, when those first few years, if I was told something, That's what a Christian was. Like when Mr. Anderson told us, you don't go to dances because of what dances lead to. So I didn't go to dances. We didn't go to dances. Those Presbyterians used to have dances, you know? How terrible. And we played games, but we didn't go to dances, so they didn't lead to it. Well, we weren't supposed to. And so here we are now at 40 years of age, no longer black and white. Paint's dried now, you know. We got tired of going to weddings where we didn't dance. Other people were having a good time. So we went and had some dancing lessons. It was when I was ministering at Wollongong years ago. So we had a few dancing lessons. Gabe was great on her feet, I was awful, but on some night, sometimes at night we'd get the kids down to bed, get them to sleep, and then we'd do some dancing. You know, practice, it was really good, and Mr. Anderson was right. What it does lead to. So it's natural to move from black and white to grey, okay? You're not as dogmatic anymore about things. You're not going to spill blood over something that's not essential. When I was in my 20s and 30s, if you tried to say to me, well, I think the world is, I don't know, what, 100 billion years old or something, I would have said, no, it's 6,000 years old. Go to the book of Genesis. I wouldn't fight that. I don't care. What I care about is in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If God created the heavens and the earth, he could do it in 6 seconds if he wanted to. The question is, do you believe in God? Not whether the Hebrew story of creation was meant to be scientifically calculated in years and argued about later. No, it's that God created the heavens and the earth. So now, whereas I would have spilled blood in those days, now it's grey for me. You know, I don't care, as long as you believe in God. To me, the most amazing thing is atheists have got so much faith. I mean, they look at this most complex creation, complex, brilliant, calculated design everywhere in creation, and they say, oh, there's no creator. Started with a big bang. So two nothings banged together and created all this. Oh, that takes a lot of faith. So when fresh paint is black and white days, but you automatically become greyer. Now you're going to spill blood over things that are absolutely essential. Heaven and hell. In those days, I knew it all. I used to be able to preach on the second coming of Christ every June for my first 20 years of ministry, I think. I knew it all. I knew exactly what was going to happen. Now I know nothing except Jesus is coming again, and I hope he does it soon. Or at least get me out of this, because you can have the rest. This world's gone nuts, hasn't it? Absolutely nuts, what we're expected to believe now. So... And hell, as a gospel preacher, the more you believe in a literal hell where people are suffering for eternity, the more I guess you're effective at getting people to make decisions. I don't know. I was reading just of the first great awakening in America. That happened in the 1700s. You know how America's got a lot more of an evangelical tradition than any other country. It came from a revival that lasted for decades there. And the key preacher was Jonathan Edwards. Well, if I read a sermon by Jonathan Edwards, and he talked about the joy of Christians in heaven. We'll be able to walk to the edge and look over and see the unbelievers eternally suffering below, and that will bring us a joy. I thought, I don't want to go and look at that. Do you want to go there? I don't want to go and look at people burning and suffering forever. And I thought, have I got more grace than God? I thought of, now, who are my enemies? I haven't got any real enemies. I've got one person I found hard to forgive because they hurt me deeply. And sometimes when I'm praying the Lord's Prayer, I really struggle because forgive us our trespasses as we forgive the one who trespassed against us. And so I say, I forgive, Lord. But it still troubles me a bit. But I think of the person who's hurt me the most. Would I wish that they would suffer forever? No. Have I got more grace than God? So I don't know. All I can do is say, I don't understand all this, but I know God, and God is a God of love. It's interesting, though, John 3:16, almost every Christian knows it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But what is the next verse? For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And Jesus, in a few verses after that, said, when I am lifted up, when I'm crucified, I will draw all men unto me. And Philippians 2 says that everyone will bow the knee to Christ and confess that he is the Son of God. So what does all that mean? I don't know. Maybe I'll have to learn in eternity to go and look over the edge and find some joy in suffering. But it doesn't seem to be the God of the Bible to me. What's he going to do? Well, the good thing is, when you move from black and white, where you think you know everything, and will you argue over every little doctrine, when you move into the grey area, and what you say is, I believe in God. I'll trust him. I'm happy to leave it to him. Look, if you think your Christianity's got to depend upon emotional highs, you're going to be disappointed. You'd have to find one of those churches that are very good at stirring up emotions and making you excited every week. But it's artificial with that. No. Christianity is to walk with God. It's to say, God, I am not God. I can't work out this world. I don't know what's best. But I trust in you. And I know you will bring everything through. And I know that, as the scriptures say, you are love. So our paint dries. Most of you in that situation have been Christians for years. But with dryness comes toughness, strength. It's the belief in God no matter what happens to us. And so when your husband goes off with some young filly, or when you lose your wife in death, or when your kids get into terrible trouble, or when you get into financial difficulties and you wonder, you don't give up your faith in God. You still can't work it out. You can't help but say, God, why did you allow that? But it doesn't matter, because the paint's dried. You believe in God. You trust him. You've given your life to him. It's amazing. I had a minister I'd known for some years come up to see me at Armidale recently. Came up especially, wanted to talk to me. And so we went out and had lunch. And he said, look, I feel ashamed. He said, my ministry is going really well. You know, we're growing the church and people are happy and all the rest of it. And he said, I still like preaching. I love to lead people to Christ. But he said, you know, years ago, I was always so excited about everything. Now, he said, I'm just not as excited. He said, am I wrong? And maybe you feel a bit the same. You get discouraged, can't you, at stages? Well, let me say to you what I said to him. I said, it's just the paint has dried. It's stronger than ever. Thank you for the privilege of being with you this morning.